Drishtya Tvayanu Shishtoham Kritaschanugraho Mahan Apavritai Karna Randrer Dushta Dishyoshatir Gira Drishtya. Luckily. Tvaya, by you, anushishta, instructed, aham, I, krita, bestowed, cha, and, anugraha, favor, mahan, great, apavritai, open, karnarandrai, with the holes of the ears. Jushta, received. Drishtya, by good fortune. Ushati, pure. Gira, words. Translation. I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami has given directions in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu on how to accept a bona fide spiritual master and how to deal with him. First, the desiring candidate must find a bona fide spiritual master, and then he must very eagerly receive instruction from him and execute them. This is reciprocal service. Bona fide spiritual master, saintly person, always desires to elevate a common man who comes to him, because everyone is under the delusion of Maya and is forgetful of his prime duty, Krishna consciousness. A saintly person always desires that everyone become a saintly person. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man. Manu said that since he was advised and instructed by Kardama Muni, he was very much favored. He considered himself lucky to receive the message by oral reception. It is especially mentioned here that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of the bona fide spiritual master. How is one to receive? One should receive the transcendental message by oral reception. The word karnarandrahi means through the holes of the ears. The favor of the spiritual master is not received through any other part of the body, but the ears. This does not mean, however, that the spiritual master gives a particular type of mantra through the ears in exchange for some dollars, and if the man meditates on that, he achieves perfection and becomes God within 6 months. Each reception through the ears is bogus. Such reception through the ears is bogus. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness, and he instructs him in that way. He instructs him through the ear, not privately, but publicly. You are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. One person is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by working in the deities room. Another is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by performing editorial work. Another is advised to do preaching work, and another is advised to carry out Krishna consciousness in the cooking department. There are different departments of activity in Krishna consciousness, and a spiritual master, knowing the particular ability of a particular man, trains him in such a way that by his tendency to act, he becomes perfect. Bhagavad Gita makes it clear that one can attain the highest perfection of spiritual life simply by offering service according to his ability, just as Arjuna served Krishna by his ability in the military art. Arjuna offered his service fully as a military man, and he became perfect. Similarly, an artist can attain perfection simply by performing artistic work under the direction of the spiritual master. If one is a literary man, he can write articles and poetry for the service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master. One has to receive the message of the spiritual master regarding how to act in one's capacity, for the spiritual master is expert in giving such instructions. This combination, the instruction of the spiritual master, and the faithful execution of the instruction by the disciple makes the entire process perfect. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in his explanation of the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, that one who wants to be certain to achieve spiritual success must take the instruction from the spiritual master as to what his particular function is. He should faithfully try to execute that particular instruction and should consider that his life and soul. The faithful execution of the instruction which he receives from the spiritual master is the only duty of a disciple, and that will bring him perfection. One should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. Okay, so then Srila Prabhupada here is then bringing in a point from Srila Rupa Goswami that when he's describing bhakti, the process of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, that we start with hearing instructions from the spiritual master. That's the first point. Then this hearing, that's the most important. It says not any other limb of the body is what is the important way to receive the mercy, but through hearing. So that hearing process then makes everything work very nicely. Otherwise, then, we think only if we get a smile, or only if they do some favor for us, or only if they keep us around all the time, or this kind of thing, then we will think that this is good or not. But actually, it's receiving instruction. And this receiving of instruction, then, the reason it's so perfect is because that instruction then can be taken away with one, and anywhere it can be used, it can be applied. Otherwise, other things, you get a pat on the head, that's nice, but as soon as the patting stops, that connection's not there. Right? But instruction is always applicable. Then he goes on to say that this instruction doesn't mean that it's a private instruction. There might be, but the instruction can be said anywhere. So this whole idea is, okay, now I have to get instruction, so now I will either go approach my spiritual master or write them, you know, an email, and now what is my private, personal instruction that's just for me and no one else? That's not the point. The point is what's good for you is also good for everybody else. Like that. Because the whole idea is how to become Krishna conscious. And the principles of Krishna consciousness work in every situation. The detail how that principle is applied to your situation, that then is unique to each situation and each, the particular activity that is being connected to. But the basic principle of being Krishna conscious, being conscious of ourselves and the situation and our activities, being conscious how Krishna is connected with that through his energies, through his instructions, then that is good for everybody. Then it will be developed or refined from there. Either one will have heard it, and from there the one continues, because one can never hear everything, right? Every moment is unique, is different. So therefore, one has to use one's intelligence to apply what one has heard to one's situation, right? So whether you hear one sentence from the spiritual master or whether you hear, you know, years and years of instruction, still you're going to have to contemplate it and apply it. Right? This is the principle. So from one instruction, you can expand it to everything else. It's not a problem. The Upanishads, they'll give one instruction. Ishvashu Upanishad is all about understanding Krishna is being as the Supreme Lord, is the controller of everything. And as a controller, everything is his, and he gives us our quota to work with, whether it's in the material or spiritual world. And through that, we can perfect our life. This one instruction is being given. Now, one can take that and apply it to everything in one's life. All times, all places, all circumstances. Right? God's always there. He's still the controller of everything. the field that we have to work with, part of that is actually ours to work with, and part of it's not. Right? We walk on this side of the street. We don't worry about the other side of the street. Right? This is our quota, right? Our feet can only walk on one sidewalk at a time. Right? So this is what we worry about. Right? Then it works. So like that, any instruction can be applied. So it's not that we have to get constant instruction. Then we feel that now it's good. Because that's emotion. But the reality is what you hear, if received through the ears, that is what you can always apply. From that, then all our needs on the material and spiritual platform can be fulfilled. So, yeah. Okay. Now, another point that he makes here is that first he says the spiritual master, because that's where this principle is then fully described. But then he also goes on to say saintly persons, because saintly persons are also spiritual master. In other words, devotees that are advanced, they are also, one's great benefit is from hearing. Principle is there. So it's always important to note that there is the main element that is there, but as it trickles down in its application, the principle still applies. Just the detail becomes a little bit less. Right? Spiritual master be very formal. Other saintly persons that may be formal may not be as formal. Right? As it comes down to things like the the parents, then it's less formal. Right? That temple presidents, senior devotees like this, then it depends. So each will have its own flavor, but the principle of hearing instruction from them, that's what's the most important thing you can gain. Right? That's what is always of benefit. Does that make sense? Like that. An orphan is taken care of, right? They're getting food, they're getting shelter, right? And generally in most civilized societies, they understand the need that, okay, someone's got a problem. So they're taken care of. But what do they miss? They miss that instruction, right? That's why we say they're an orphan. Does that make sense? If they're having shelter, they're getting instruction, they're getting direction so that they can develop their life, no one calls them an orphan. Right? An orphan means he doesn't have shelter, doesn't have instruction. So that's the principle. Right? The emotional part may come, may not come, but they don't have someone who is an authority. Because right? There may be very nice people, social workers who go take care very nicely. But still there's some lack. Why? Because there's no authority. Right? That is the point. So we see that this is a very, very essential point in one's life. And so then all these principles apply. But the most important of all these is the instruction of the spiritual master. Right? Or those persons who are giving us instruction in pursuance of that. Right. Then we see is that now as that instruction is there, then the relationship becomes proper because the instruction is being practiced, is being followed. One gets the instruction, one tries to follow it. Right. That then shows sincerity. Brahma was given instruction and he tried to apply it. Therefore Krishna considered him sincere. And then he revealed himself. Right? He's on the lotus. He heard tapa. He's trying to do that. He's trying to contemplate what that means, how to find, you know, what is the source, what is his purpose. All this is there. So because of this sincerity, Krishna revealed himself. So that combination of the instruction of the spiritual master and us being able to apply it as our life and soul, this then becomes dynamic Krishna consciousness. This is then what pleases Krishna. This is how we can perfect our life. So this combination, and Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, then is what makes everything work. So that instruction then you have the element of what kind of instruction. So there's going to be generic instruction that's meant for Krishna consciousness that always applies, living entity in the material world trying to serve Krishna. Then there'll be specific instruction according to one's nature, so one knows that one is properly connecting that nature to Krishna. So that being practiced, that combination then becomes perfect. There's generic instruction, then there's specific instruction. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So specific means according to one's nature. Then there may be within that very specific for you as an individual who's trying to act within one's nature, within Krishna consciousness. Okay? So that combination then, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this vyavasayatmika buddhi. So that means it's fixed intelligence. One has received the instruction, one contemplates that, one is fixed on that. Applying that, that becomes very dynamic, right? That's the main thing, is this buddhi is being used. Emotion, sentiment, that something is there, nice. You don't have to worry about that here. Your business here is to perfect your life, so you're qualified to go there, right? Once you go there, that's all they do, is engage in very nice rasa with nice interactions and sweetness and everything. So what you're looking for is over there in plenty. But over here, if it's there, not there, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Does that make sense? Like that. So therefore, taking the instruction, contemplating it, following it, that's the most important. From that, all other things will be taken care of. You'll be happy. Right? Like that. But the intensity of emotion, all those things, that's going to be had on the transcendental platform. On this side, even if it's intense, it's still not so great. Right? Some situation is there, very tense, very full, caught your attention, but it then asks you, want to go through that again? You may say no. But the spiritual is so nice, you don't mind it again and again and again. Is that okay? Any questions on this? Yes. Okay, the difference of detail, but she would probably takes intelligence. There must be contemplation. That's why it means you've heard something. Now, how exactly that's going to be applied, and then one of the elements of it would be to discern between what's principle and detail. So then that would mean the next stage then is contemplation and application. Right? So that's manana. So that's what Prabhupada's talking about here. One's focused on the instruction, and one is trying to apply it. But now to apply it, you must use the intelligence to discern between what is principle, what's detail. Basic aspect is principle always applies. Detail is for the specific time, place, and circumstance. Having said that, though, still to see how a principle always applies, it still requires intelligence. Because with each situation, its application changes. Right? Let's like say we are cooking. So cooking, basically, you could say a generic principle would be in an appropriate way, applying controlled heat to a preparation till it, you know, attains to what we call the cooked state, you know, being softer and like that, you know, for flavors, for taste, for digestion, all these different things. Now, that's generic, so someone who knows cooking will understand that. But someone new to it, then it's very hard to tell the difference between boiling something and deep frying. Because the one, you know, you overboil it, it just gets a little soft. You overfry it, it's burnt. But basically, it's both are the same. You're just boiling it. Just one's in oil and one's in water. You know, or you can apply it directly on the heat, but then it has to be controlled. Sometimes you do, so you can't use the same heat you'd use if you're using a pot. Or it's in the pot, and then the heat's there, but so you still have to move things in the pot. Unless there's more water in the pot or more ghee, then you can move it less. Does that make sense? Or you have an oven where it's baked, it's dry, so there is no water in this and that. And so all these different things, the principle of applying heat to it appropriately That's common. So that's the principle. The detail will be how you boil something, how you fry something, how you stir fry something, how you bake something directly on the flame, how you bake something in an oven. Does that make sense? Like that. And, you know, unless, of course, you're in Texas, then you can cook it on the sidewalk. But, you know, otherwise, then that kind of thing, that's where the intelligence comes in, is to discern is, okay, what is the principle here that applies? Because the instruction will be given in a particular context. You have to give an instruction in the context. Like here, Prabhupada said, you know, mentioned about Didi's room, editorial work, preaching work, and cooking department. Then it says, well, what if I'm cleaning the bathrooms? Then this doesn't apply. So that would be a misunderstanding. The principle is whatever the nature is, then that can be, because how many instructions, I mean, examples can Prabhupada give, right? Does that make sense? So you give enough that you can catch the idea. Then you have to see, well, what's the common point here? The common point is whatever one's nature is, that has to be connected to Krishna. You have to know how to do that. The detail is, how do I connect my cooking? How do I connect my editorial work? How do I, you know, so, and all these, then there's common elements on making them work. Means you can say here, Didi's, editorial, preaching, cooking. And all of them you're going to be, in one sense, communicating, especially the first three, right? So you're going to be communicating with the deities, communicating with the devotees, but the main thing is going to be through affection, through ritual, and through aesthetics, right? So then, even on the, there's a principle there we did there, but even within this, there's principles that are applying there, sub-principles, and so how deity worship works, if you really understand it down to principles, you could apply that in editing. You could apply that in preaching. You could apply that in cooking. Because technically there's only Krishna as a topic. There isn't another topic. Now, what aspect of Krishna, how you're relating the different aspects to each other, that creates different variety. So there's going to be some difference because of the variety, but because it's Krishna, it's still based on Satchidananda. It's still based on the Samvit Sandini Hladini. Right? Everything is that. The Sandini, when it applies its influence, means when it's on the spiritual potency, on the Sarup Shakti, then you get, you know, the Lord's, the existence principle, all these different things. When it's applied on the material energy, you get the mode of ignorance, right? And everything there that grossly you identify with. The Samvit potency applied on the internal potency then generates activities in Krishna consciousness. It applied in the material world, it generates material, like mode of passion. The Hladini potency applied on the Sarup Shakti then generates happiness. In the material world, it generates your material so-called pleasures and that. So it's the same principle. It works in the same way. Just one's superior, vastly superior, and one's vastly inferior. So once that's understood is that, okay, now it means depending upon how that preparation is, what it is, who it's for, you're going to cook. So in the same way, depending upon who your audience is and that, you're going to edit. You know, you're going to preach. Right? You're going to address the deities. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's still, there's always going to be the common. So within that, there's the very broad general principles. Then within that, even the other ones, everything works on a general principle. So, say again? Yeah, always remember Krishna, never forget. So that means what is the common point? That's why when we discuss the Shastra, that's why it's very important to discuss it from different angles that are seemingly totally contradictory. Because something that we put into a little box, then we get another explanation by Prabhupada and find that that explanation doesn't fit into our box. So then it's a matter of, okay, what's the common point between them? That's actually that principle. And what's the difference? That's the detail.
And what seems to create conflict over that is
Yes. Yeah. Means I heard devotees that they don't even want to hear philosophical discussions, meaning like a debate, because the same shloka can be used by both sides in exactly opposite ways, which is true. Because Krishna is everything, so all aspects are coming from it. So there's a common principle at work there. The point is because of desire, their own, like you're saying, their own individual perspective, they're not able to see the principle that's common. Because otherwise, any two sides, if it's within the same topic, like you have two political parties, then your common ground is politics. So from that, then what is actually for the betterment of the people and all that kind of thing, that's the common. Then they have to look at it, okay, what is the thing that will make it work? So now having a very nice structured format that people can feel confident of and feel secure, that what the conservative element, you know, professes, that's very good, because then people feel they know it's going to be there. But at the same time is then what's being given on the liberal side is that they want it to be applied to the individual and not be too institutional. That person gets insecure due to that. So both of those are very good. That's the Vedic. According to standards, a king applies that standard to the individual. If he doesn't do that, he's unfit as a king. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If he doesn't know the law and cannot apply that law to the individual at the circumstance that he's in, and the circumstances going on, you know, in the kingdom, he's not fit to govern. Just to go by a rule and say, well, this is the rule, that's for bureaucrats. And we must remember, unfortunately, bureaucrats are Shudras. They are engaged by Kshatriyas and Vaishyas in office work. So if someone says, well, this is the rule, and that's all, and they can't adjust it, they're actually unqualified. Good that they have faith in the rule. That's good. They accept authority. And that's very good. But that's as far as their authority extends. Now, to apply it, you have to bring a person who actually knows why that rule's there. What is the principle it's trying to obtain? Right? Then you can understand the application of justice. You can, you know, so it's like that with anything. You understand what is, you know, deity worship, then you can understand how to apply something. What needs to be applied? You don't understand, you won't understand it. You know, in the preaching, okay, you're talking to one kind of class of person, you're talking one way, another class of person, another way. You know, the cooking, okay, it's summertime, you're cooking for this situation, you cook in one way, but in the winter, you would cook a different way. So then they understand what they're doing. Otherwise, then they're good for that one thing. Right? The bureaucrat sticks to his rules, his papers. He's good at that. That's why he's there. That's why he's taken care of. But no one, no shastra, no leader has ever asked that a bureaucrat make a decision. They're none qualified. Because all they can see is the rule, and everybody has to fit into that rule. Because their only authority comes from that rule. But they're not. But the point is that rule came from God. So why did God give it? Because he wanted a particular result in this society. So if you can get it from God to the rule to the society, then you make the decision. But if you only see the rule and can't see the other two elements, you've left out God and the jiva. So you means of the three of knowledge, chit, achit, ishwara, you're only seeing achit, the material energy. So until you can see the chit and ishwara, you shouldn't be making a decision. Does that make sense? So like that, then the whole process then is that's why he gives the example here of Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, that you really have to take it and contemplate it. It means there may be an initial understanding that comes from experience and from you know, one's own personal development, but still the contemplation, it's said that a king, before he actually applies something that's very major, a new project or war or anything significant, he must contemplate it very significantly. He can't just get, you know, upset and say, push the red button. You know, he has to contemplate it, and that's alone. And then once he's contemplated it, then he discusses with his advisors, gets their advice, each individual. Then he finally sits with the whole group and then makes a final decision. That's just the way it works. Okay, like that. Problem is we're over time, but What we can do is we can end, and then those who want to continue with questions will take questions after until like 9:30, like that, after 5 minutes. Okay? Grunta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur, Gaur Hari Gaur. In trying to follow an instruction. Okay, you come across your own shortcomings, okay? A sense of lethargy comes up, okay? How do you get out of that? Okay, so if you take up, the instruction comes, you find a shortcoming, then generally then one thinks less of oneself. Basically for the fundamental principle that we generally tend to think a lot of ourselves. So when you find there's a shortcoming, then it's sometimes very difficult to deal with. Then if we become insecure, insecurity is coming out of ignorance. And then because of this ignorance, then comes lethargy. Does that make sense? You know? So it's basically comes, you know, this anger after frustration and all that. So it's a matter of, it's not, if we're looking at it that it's not for us, it's for Krishna, then we start and we try to do our best, right? It's like when the kid starts to ride a bicycle, no one expects that, you know, that day he'll join the Olympics. You know what I'm saying? It's understood. So we may think I'm Olympic material, but no one expects it. Does that make sense? So when they ask you to cook, and so then you go into the deity kitchen the first time, and then what you cook is not necessarily so what you consider so ecstatic. Okay, now one could say, well, this failed, and so that's bad, and I'm useless, and this and that, and so I'm not going to cook anymore. Right? So one doesn't, but that's the veneer. Right? And more, probably a more direct translation is, I went into the kitchen, I cooked. It wasn't so good. Now people are laughing at me and making comments about me. I'm not going to give them another opportunity to find fault again. You understand? Because in there we're doing it for ourselves. If we're doing it for Krishna, then, okay, we made a mistake. What was wrong? It was too much salt, not enough salt, too much spice, not enough spice, overcooked, undercooked, you know, whatever it is. Then tomorrow I will do it and correct that. And then it'll be that much better. And then like this, as good as my ability, or as good as others who have ability to instruct us, then our cooking will improve. Right? And then it develops. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that if we're doing it for Krishna, then we can make mistakes, but then we learn from those mistakes and don't make them again. Does that make sense? So the insecurity isn't really so important. It's just a matter of just doing it. You know, that's the proper thing. Right? But the inspiration is to please Krishna, because we may not have inspiration from ourselves. Right? Does that make sense? So Arjuna is lethargic about fighting because he's fighting for himself. But then after instruction from Krishna, he says, then free from lethargy, then you fight, because you're not fighting for yourself. You're fighting for a higher cause. So for a higher cause, then you can make mistakes. Does that make sense? Does it, yes, I understand. I mean, so if in other words, you have somebody who is trying to apply time, place, and circumstance on the rule. So then it may come out in a different form that has been applied in other cases. And so now if they worry, what will others think about this, and will this start a problem that everybody will want an exception, and others will think, oh, you're not sticking to your guns, or this or that. So then, one is that it's not exactly an exception. There's no exceptions to the rule, technically speaking. There is applications of the rule. That, if you're looking at detail, do look contradictory, and therefore we categorize them as exceptions. So this is the problem, is that the exception actually is an exception. It's not actually the application of the rule. The point is what is the rule trying to affect? That's what you have to maintain. So then a rule will be applied because that in general is one, it generally then affects the purpose of that rule. But also, it may be your best example of the application of the rule. In other words, the broadest. You know, you won't choose the narrowest definition of a rule for the wording of a rule. You'll pick the broadest definition, right? But still, broad is only so broad. And then outside of that broadness, that's where then interpretation must be applied. But that interpretation is on the rule itself. What is the purpose of that rule? So now this opens up the solution. One, it's the problem, because then you have to be able to understand that, right? It's so much easier just to say, well, the rule is this, that's the way it is. But to be able to apply it to the individual, that's more difficult. But then to be able to have come to that actual position, and it's not just sentiment, it's through intelligence, then if it's have been attained by intelligence, that's your savior, is you can explain it through intelligence. So generally it's because it's been come to from sentiment, or there's an understanding but you can't be articulated. Therefore, when others question it, then it can't be explained. And therefore it gets overruled. Then you get this nice, the pendulum phenomena. Is that, you know, like that. So these are major, diplomatic and social problems, simply because why the rule is there. Just like you take the rule, okay, the wife follows the husband. Okay? Now, then that one can be used really, really well, you know, against the whole community of women. Right? But in it, have you ever heard those who are picking up that flag and waving it, you know, in the faces of everybody, have they ever dissected it to actually explain what follow means? Because if you say follow, that would imply action. So that means if a man is doing that very same thing, and he is comfortable and confident at it, then naturally the woman would be comfortable to follow that example. Does that make sense? And so, having said that, okay, it clarifies it a little bit more, but it still leaves quite a few, you know, clinkers, you know? But then, now that means everything. Okay, I'm going to Mangal Arati, I want my wife to go to Mangal Arati. Or I'm chanting my japa, I want her to chant. Okay, that works really nice. But what about, I want her to be submissive. So then what does that mean? If the wife is following the husband, what does that mean has been affected first? The husband's submission to actually the relationship of dealing with a woman. You know what I'm saying? So that means that's following. You explain this, then there's no problems. So that's the whole thing, is that the same thing in management or administration, if they can't explain the science behind it, then it becomes, that much becomes a difficulty. But these, you know, so these things must be studied and know what they are. Not tricks, not details. There's plenty of books that tell you details. But how many explain why? Right? So we said before, okay, the businessman has now heard from the book that if he's nice to Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith will work nicer. You ask him about his family, show some concern, he takes it personal, you know, and then he's inspired more. But they only tell you that. Why is Mr. Smith? Right? Because Mr. Smith is a Shudra. Shudras are emotional. Therefore, if you show some, and they're attached to material things. So someone who shows interest in the same attachments they have to their family, they're inspired. What if you try that on, Mr. Thompson, right, who happens to be, you know, an advisor in the company and is very intellectual? He'll think this was one of the most superficial interactions I've ever had. And it won't inspire him at all. In fact, he'll think now less of this boss, because he thought before he actually was quite clever. He was good in management. But now he can see is that he has no idea how to deal with people. So now the boss will think what went wrong. So he'll go out looking for another self-help book that will tell him how to deal with Mr. Thompson. So they've completely missed the point. So they're good at techniques of management, but they actually don't know the science of management. Because if you know the science, you can explain it. Like someone who knows recipes, and you question, you know, why they're doing that in the recipe, can they say anything? You open Korma's cookbook and take out a recipe. And they said, well, I think you should have put, you know, more cinnamon in there. What do you say? I don't know, it's in the recipe. You know, then you say, I don't know, it's the rule. That's how you can fall back on. That's why bureaucrats love rules. How come you did this to this guy? It's the rule. Hey, you know, it's not me. That's why they like it. Because they're not so expert. But if you say to a cook, why did you put, you know, this in there? It's because this balance and that, and I was trying to affect this flavor. Of course, if I wanted to put more cinnamon, then I would have done this and this, and I would have used the preparation in that way. And then it's like, what can they say? Right? Unless they're a cook, and then you have some discussion over, you know, fine points of application of the spices. So, does that make sense? Well, it just finished. It may be, it's not a matter of applying or not applying, means that would be also there. Is that, let's say, their request isn't actually efficiently getting done what they think it would. So why would you grant it? But if it actually does, then why wouldn't it be granted? But then, just as you can work that out and explain it to them, you could explain it to anybody else who would ask. They say, oh, well, you gave it to him. Yeah, but that's different. You know what I'm saying? You know, he got to take away prasad in his tiffin. How come I can't? He's a grihastha and his wife's sick, so he had to take for her. You're a brahmachari. You're just going to eat it tonight. You don't get to take it away. You know, then it's kind of like, oh, okay. Sometimes? I thought that was standard these days. No, you're not the idiot for saying they can't cook. It's maybe you're an idiot for being in that temple where the leadership doesn't have anything to know anything about standards and Krishna consciousness. So that's what's sad. The sad is that Prabhupada spent so much time to establish these fine standards, and then the leadership doesn't value them. They could say it's not practical, but the thing is it's been 30 years. Why it's not practical? Why in 30 years you can't train someone to cook? I could do it in 3 weeks. You know, I mean, tell someone to take a bath. We used to, when Prabhupada was here, we used to take a bath and put on clean clothes to cut sabji. We weren't initiated. We could go in the kitchen and help. We could wash pots. But we had to be clean. We had to take a bath. You didn't wear your shoes. You want that? Put in some other shoes in the kitchen. You know, as you know, everyone's got to have their own shoes. You know, I go, I can't wear it. If it's not Gucci, I can't wear it. Or what's the deal? You know what I'm saying? So the point is if it's not valued, so the point is it's like this, but it reflects everywhere. So therefore, because we don't value the standards in the kitchen, that means food is not actually an important part of Krishna consciousness. If food's not an important part, that means we don't bother actually trying to develop and refine our cooking abilities. So that means, you know, the preparations themselves and the menus then don't really matter. So you can, the culture is lost there. The environment in which prasad is eaten doesn't matter. So that's, culture is lost there. The service of the prasad is lost. So that means then that reflects back into the homes. And then there's no one really knows nicely how to cook. And then basically everyone starts going to outside, you know, facilities for getting something that actually has some taste, you know, like this. And so this reflects all the way down. So if there's no standards there, nothing in cleanliness, then that means there's also nothing in deity worship. There's nothing in other things. And when we say that we're discussing truth, that truth is supposed to be based on cleanliness, on purity. But it's not. So then what kind of truth are we speaking? So truth gets reduced down to facts instead of Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So you can take one thing and you can see its effect, this domino effect on everything else in Krishna consciousness. But unless one understands these things, then it's just a matter of, oh, it's not practical. I can't organize it. So if you can't organize it, bring someone in who can. That's what leadership is supposed to do. Leadership is not necessarily supposed to be the expert at everything. Leadership is supposed to know how to engage everybody. Right? Even if the temple president doesn't know how to cook, but he knows how to find a cook and encourage one and give them facilities, then he'll have great cooking. Right? No one says, "Well, I heard, you know, your temple's got great prasad." No one says, "Well, but if you don't know how to cook, then that's all useless." No. He's organized that there's nice prasad, a nice standard in his temple. He gets the credit. Right? Whether he can cook or not. So the thing is find people, encourage people. There's plenty of people that can cook. It's like, why doesn't the temple start to do, there's this unique thing called preaching. And this thing called preaching means that you're discussing these instructions that are in these books. I mean, I know the generic bottom line definition of preaching nowadays in many places means collecting money. So that's nice. You need money to run. You need to do all those things. But there is this thing that Prabhupada gave. He walked onto the streets in New York, and he went there with, you know, his, you know, funny bed sheets on. And but because he was a sannyasi, he wasn't his mother's bed sheet, so it must be very clear here, right? Then and he told people who came from a culture that was based on meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, and told them that they don't do this stuff. And because he was able to convince them, then they did it. So the point is if people say that, that means somebody's not preaching. That's all. It's the bottom line. Where's the preaching? Oh, we just want to fit in. But fit into what? You know, you give it enough time and you're going to be down in the, what's that place called? The bayou, you know, living on stilts and shooting whatever walks by. Oh, it wasn't practical to get in my truck and drive down to the shop and buy some rice, but, you know, there was a turkey running by, so. You know what I'm saying? At what point, what is practical? You tell me, what is practical for a boy being on one side of the planet and he really is affected by a girl and he goes to the other side of the planet to somehow or another meet her and make a relationship? You tell me that's practical? Practical is I walk out on the street and the first one I bump into, I try to make a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So practical is extremely subjective. So this pragmatic, minimalistic approach to Krishna consciousness basically means you're just reducing everything down to the Vaishya mentality. Vaishyas are pragmatics. They've got to get something done. If they're farmers, you don't plant at the right time, you starve to death. Right? So pragmatism for them is very important. But they have to be able to function in an environment that's been established, we see here, right, the Brahminical culture, that then shows what is the framework within which to be practical. If that's not done, you're going to get this.
Yeah. At least I took a shower.
Yeah. But if they're great cooks, and why? So what's so great about being a great cook? Unless you can bring great cook in connection with Krishna. So you may say, well, it's not practical, but why is the rule there? Who wrote the rule? Was it the previous temple president just because he had a thing about, you know, cleanliness? He was actually in the family line of, you know, what was his name? Was it Howard Hughes? Is that the guy? He was totally into cleanliness and died, you know, he lived in a pure environment or something like that. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or was it written by Krishna? That the deity is like this. We may think it doesn't stink, but Krishna does. You understand? We may think, what's the big deal? But the Krishna is like this. I'll tell you a little story. I think Prabhupada told this story. About the famous Sandesh connoisseur of Calcutta. So one day they, you know, because he was such a connoisseur, he knew it. He could tell every sweet shop what it was and everything like this. So one day they gave him a sandesh and said, "What sweet shop is this from?" He told the sweet shop. He told that the wood that they were cooking the sandesh on was tamarind wood. And the guy who was cooking it was smoking a bidi at the time. And so they all thought, yeah, nice, you know. They went and checked. They went to the shop and checked. And it was right. And this is a human being. So you don't think Krishna can't smell this guy who hasn't taken a bath and doesn't care and all this kind of stuff? He can't taste that? What devotion? If you can't take a bath to cook for Krishna, how much devotion is going to be there? How good is it? When we used to travel in India, you know, early days, then you travel around and you eat in people's houses. They can cook way better than those people in America can cook. They're Indians in America, but these people cook better because they got the original ingredients, they got the tradition and everything like that. You can last about 3 days eating in their house. And this is first class stuff. Stuff, you know, most devotees have never even dreamed of eating. But after 3 days, you would rather eat the khichdi, you know, cooked by the brahmachari. He doesn't really know much because it's got the devotion in it. So the point is, what is Krishna eating? The expert cooking or the devotion? So if you can't be clean, there's a letter where Prabhupada's talking about the kitchen. He said, if you can't make a distinction between the boga refrigerator and the prasad refrigerator, you can't make these distinctions, then where is the question of love?